or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Jamie Haddad.
And I'm Robert Barncord. Coming up tomorrow morning, Friday, on KBOO at 7, it'll be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Positively Revolting, Ani and Lynn will host John Perkins live in the studio to talk about the new expanded version of his classic book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. At 9, on One Land, Many Voices, we'll feature a talk by Israeli police activist Jeff Halper on his new book, War Against the People, Israel, the Palestinians, and Global Pacification. At 10, it'll be Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, you will hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 a.m., it will be Pacific Underground, Asians and Pacific Islanders in Oregon taking the mic into their own hands. Thanks to all of you KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member yet, you can become one easily by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And stay tuned now for a discussion with Robert McCulloch, president of the Neighborhood Coalition Southeast Uplift, about air quality and pollution right here in our city, Portland.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Robert McCulloch is the president of Southeast Uplift, the coalition of Southeast Portland neighborhood associations. The group has been working to find answers to where the air pollution spikes in their area have really come from. And McCulloch says there's currently no evidence at this point proving the Bullseye Glass Company is the culprit. The real source of heavy metals in the air over Southeast Portland could just as well be one of the large manufacturing plants there. McCulloch particularly points to what he calls the, quote, feel-good study the Forest Service did as part of a children's program that accidentally showed the air toxicity problem. That study has still not yet been released to the public. KBOO's Lisa Loving spoke with McCulloch today about how many of his friends have died from cancer and why the public still doesn't know what's going on.
I am president of Southeast Uplift, the association of 20 neighborhoods in Southeast Portland. We've been around for 40 years. We are not city employees. We are, in fact, the moral equivalent of KBOO. And so two of our neighborhoods are dramatically involved, and that's Hosford Abernathy, what some of you would call Lad's Edition. And the other one is Brentwood Darlington. But the fact is, both of them have hot spots of a variety of these metals. The hot spots were taken from a feel-good study by the U.S. Forest Service. The U.S. Forest Service has a top-flight laboratory here in town, very significant scientists working at it. One of the scientists has been developing a bioassay methodology for determining pollutants from moss. They take samples of moss and then sample them. Very inexpensive, very effective. She's been published in a variety of areas. That feel-good study involved using the same high-tech new science at all the Portland schools. And in the midst of doing it, they discovered that some of the schools were very polluted. Now, this is not a surprise to us. Scientists at Portland State, Linda George, said in her testimony a day or two ago, this is not surprising at all. We knew these problems were out there. However, what we don't have is the U.S. Forest Service study. They've not released that. And this is the normal bureaucratic tendency to hide when the heat is on. I have a very lovable cat. And when she tips over the vase full of the flowers, she goes over and sits at the far end of the table and looks uninvolved. Well, the U.S. Forest Service, sadly, is in the midst of that now. Because we don't have this study, we're left with some questions. The first one has to do with the wind direction. We don't know when they were doing the sampling or exactly how long the sampling took place. But we noticed that the precision cast parts is southwest of the hot spot in Brentwood, Darlington. But we noticed that the glassworks over on 21st is directly south of the hot spot in Hosford, Abernathy. And those issues interest me. I would expect, without knowing more, that I would see the wind direction being the same in both cases, because they're actually not very far apart. And that's one of the reasons why we've been pushing hard to get all of the data out on the table. We have been pursuing DEQ data with Oregon Open Document Requests, and we now have a Dropbox. Anyone who would like access to the data we're getting together, just send me an email to robert@mresearch.com. We're also trying to get that U.S. Forest Service report, and I think it's very important that we get that out on the table.
Again, the bigger picture, as we were talking about it a few moments ago, for some reason, a lot of these media reports are focusing on specifically bullseye glass, but there's a wider issue of toxic junk in the air. What are some of the bigger issues there that Southeast residents, any Portland residents, should be aware of and should be paying attention to?
Well, you know, we have something in Portland called greenwash. And all Portland elected officials are issued with a pail of greenwash when elected. And then they get to apply it to our environmental issues. And everything looks much better. But the reality is we're a mid-sized American industrial city. We are the rail hub for this part of the country. We're the trucking hub for this part of the country. The diesel engines are far less regulated in Oregon than they are in the neighboring states. In fact, we're known as the elephant's graveyard of obsolete diesel equipment. We have very little monitoring on diesel particulates, which means that as you drive down 99E from downtown towards Milwaukee, you're not only passing a variety of factories, you're also passing the very active Brooklyn Rail Yard, which is doing most of the container traffic in the city. When it brings in a 2-mile-long train from Chicago, it's bringing in hundreds, if not thousands, of truckloads that then have to leave onto 99E and travel north and south. And all of those are issuing diesel particulates, which is a health hazard. We have a variety of small industry in this same area that ranges from 21st, which has been identified as the source of the hotspot, but it goes all the way down to Milwaukee. So these are not isolated incidents. And as Professor George says, they're to be expected. USA Today, several years ago, identified Portland schools as being in the worst 2 or 3% in the country. That amazed me. But the fact is, not all pollution is visible. A lot of the scarier parts are not visible. And it's what we are breathing. Karen and I, my wife, lost an old friend, Portland State professor, just this week. One of three friends dying of cancer now, and she checked our Christmas list and noticed that we had seven friends who had died in the same way. We actually need to pay a lot more attention to this, and that means not relying on 50-year-old emissions monitoring equipment, but actually having it sit right there at the railroad and at the industrial district and at precision cast parts so we know what the story is. You know, a lot of this is just common sense. If you don't know what the problem is, you can't solve it. And so here we are, a feel-good study by the Forest Service. Admittedly, world-class scientists at the Forest Service Research Center. But they were not searching for pollution. They were thinking, well, I'll teach some school kids how scientists work. Well, that's great. I'm glad they did it. But while they were at it, they made the discoveries that our own folks did not.
Robert, speaking as a community leader, what do you think that people all over the city should be doing? What should we be paying attention to with this air toxics study?
Well, we're arguing about that at the moment, and I have been discussing it with the other board members at Southeast Uplift and the community leaders. I'm tempted to actually go off and fund two of these emissions monitoring stations ourselves, do a crowdsource and get them done now. Fact is, we aren't bureaucrats or elected officials, so we don't have to wait. We could raise them. They aren't expensive, by the way. I love the fact that the governor's talking about $2.5 million. Our emissions monitoring station that the two neighborhoods paid for at Reed College cost $30,000. We raised that out of our own pockets. This was no massive year-long bureaucratic process. You just order the equipment and set it up. I've talked to Portland State about sponsoring the science, and I plan to have a meeting with them next week on that. So this is the sort of thing that we can do ourselves and should, because, quite bluntly, we have a lot of scared and angry people, and we deserve to do more for them.
Okay, one last question now. Certain people are helping you with this effort, and you had mentioned that Senator Ron Wyden's office, you're working with them to try to get that.
U.S. Forest Service study, yes.
Who is being helpful and who's being an obstacle?
There's a lot of good community support. You and I talked about Mary Pavedo before, and she does a great job. And the community leaders in the two neighborhoods are very active, and I've been talking to them every day. We do, however, have absolutely underfunded and demoralized environmental group, the DEQ. Individuals are fine, but their budget has gone down for years. They do not have the sense of outrage that they should have in their job. And so I would like to have a much different point of view in that direction. And then, frankly, city government. When we started working with Amanda Fritz on checking demolitions for asbestos and lead paint, she said, well, these environmental issues aren't our job. And I thought, that's not the right answer. The right answer is it's everyone's job. Now, in her defense, after a lot of work and a lot of lobbying, we did change the rules, and we now again do check older houses for materials that are very dangerous. But it's been an uphill fight in Portland, and we just find it very hard to distract people from idiot issues like the art stacks and get to the questions that go to people's real-life health. And it's a little amusing that the art stacks is costing enough to implement that we could be spending the implementation money and have 20 air monitoring stations across the city.
Maybe you could figure out like really artistic air monitoring stations.
Absolutely. And we could paint them in bright primary colors, yes.
But Robert, I mean, are we just complacent? We're so green that we don't have to care about it? I mean,
well,
really.
Well, we aren't very green. That's our problem. We are the center for diesel in the state. We have 3% more cars in the county than we had last year. We are using 4% more gasoline than we used last year. Fact is, this is a standard middle American industrial city. And I love the fact that we've greenwashed everything. The director of the city planning department sent me an email a few weeks ago explaining that emissions were down. And I turned to my staff and I said, how do you know that? We have no data. We believe they're down. Hopefully they are down. But frankly, with truck, rail, car, and gasoline all going up, I have a feeling our emissions are increasing, not decreasing. But we have so little data that it is just preposterous. In many ways, you're better off in LA or Chicago where people take this seriously. You have much stronger regulations in LA and Chicago. And it's a irony that we just don't do much. One of my staff said one day, well, at least we don't do strip mining in Oregon. And I said, well, I'll be glad to show you some nice strip mining sites if you'd like to see them. And we got onto Google Maps, and I showed him what strip mining looks like in Oregon. Fact is, we have a lot of issues that require some common sense data collection before we announce we're also environmentally green. And I am certain that we need to fix a lot of the diesel issues right away. And by the way, diesel is not complicated. In some states, a truck, one of those semis that's barreling down the highway, has a diesel filter that filters out the diesel particulates. Not Oregon. So, it's your guess. And they aren't even expensive. We just don't do little stuff like that. The buses, by the way, don't have diesel filters either. So, we have a lot of work to do. And to start doing it, we have to have the data to run with.
For KBOO News, I'm Lisa Loving, speaking with Robert McCullough.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Happening 2016, a homegrown music forum taking place February 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Epano Jam Space in Portland. Happening 2016 will be an exploratory conversation about how the music scene works in Portland and how artists, professionals, and supporters shape the scene. Panelists include Simon Tam, Jenny Logan, DJ Cliff, and will be moderated by Rebecca Miller. Again, that's Happening 2016, a homegrown music forum taking place February 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Epano Jam Space, 8114 Southeast Division Street in Portland.